This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
All of this traces back to Magna Carta 800 years ago. Magna Carta had two components. One is the Charter of Liberties, the famous one, which I discussed, the foundation of Anglo-American law, now being torn to shreds before our eyes. The other part is what was called the Charter of Forests. That was dedicated to protection of the commons from the ravages of the power centers of the day.
That's Noam Chomsky, Magna Carta, Then and Now, on the next Alternative Radio. Tune into Alternative Radio this Tuesday at 9 a.m. right here on KBOO Portland.
Our listeners in Corvallis and Albany will be happy to hear that we have replaced the failed translator and installed a brand new translator. It is also in a new location in Philomath and on a new frequency. KBOO's new frequency for Corvallis, Albany, and Philomath is 104.3.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, June 10th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Edward Snowden is holed up in Hong Kong. Strange choice of a drop, but still, the extradition laws may or may not be able to favor that choice, and we don't know why he would choose Hong Kong. Many are speculating on that. Nonetheless, Snowden is the latest hero to emerge out of the twisted, convoluted paths of secrecy that shroud American security issues. Monsanto is credited with coming up with a conspiracy theory to explain itself. News itself may be a conspiracy. And the Christmas tree patsy, Mohammed Mahmoud, has his plans for the future all laid out for him, basically by the handlers that placed him in this terrible situation in the first place. Moving further afield, in Iraq, 22 car bombings. None of this, these types of violence ever plagued Iraq before. We talk of the Magna Carta. What about the Code of Hammurabi that predates it by several thousand years? Yeah, the Code of Hammurabi, which is a source of all Western law, emerged out of ancient Iraq. Iraq, of course, is a civilization far older than American. We're watching right now, witnessing the cradle of civilization devolve into the grave of empire. We've virtually destroyed a whole civilization. The National Weather Service has this for us. Mostly sunny, highs near 70, light northwest wind, 5 to 9 miles per hour. For tonight, look for a little bit of overcast moving in, lows around 52, and light winds, 6 to 11 miles per hour. For tomorrow, we could get a few showers, probably early if it happens at all. Cloudy, highs near 64, and a bit breezy. Tomorrow night, again, that possibility of showers, mostly cloudy, lows around 49. The alternative forecast, we have a new flower moon in Gemini, one day old. The synodic forecast calls for leafy vegetables and annuals that produce above ground. You might try grains right now. It's a good time to pick vegetables if they are to be stored. Biodynamic outlook moon in Gemini, it's an air sign. Good time for flowering plants. And as a sidereal forecast, moon in Gemini, barren and dry, yet good for promoting flower growth. And that's it for the alternative and the conventional forecasts. Once again, we are back to, at our quest, which listeners may recall, of attempting to reach Julian Assange. Still trying to do that. It's possible at this point, with the developments that we're seeing right now, the Bradley Manning trial entering its second week, and, of course, Edward Snowden's extraordinary revelations, and that we might hear from Mr. Assange. The antic prospect of a whole population of whistleblowers scattered about the world, holed up in various embassies and hotel rooms, out of the reach of a justice system which is deeply flawed and which has emerged from the same policies that have created this national security super state. It's a terrifying yet amusing vision of the future to consider. Meanwhile, consider this. Most people are familiar with the story of the GMO wheat found 10 years after the fact, and yet there's still no explanation from Monsanto as to why they terminated this project. Monsanto is not known for terminating projects based on public health considerations. So whatever prompted them to drop the program of genetically modified wheat, their concerns must have been very severe and more likely actuarial. In other words, the number of people likely to be harmed and cost the company money in damages and is greater than the amount of money that they expected to reap, no pun intended there, in profits. So you've got to think about that type of balancing act and factor that in when you hear this. There is a story which seems to have originated on a website, naturalnews.com. The editor, Mike Adams, of that website reports that, and this is all over the internet, Monsanto has come up with a conspiracy theory to explain how commercial wheat crops in Oregon got contaminated with GMOs. It was put out by the chief technology officer, Rob Fraley, a Monsanto executive, in a phone call with reporters from mainstream media. I have not been able to absolutely verify parts of this, but nonetheless, it is fascinating. And again, we've seen so many conspiracy theories turn out to be conspiracy facts that it's worth reporting. That said, Monsanto claims to be the victim of a conspiracy to destroy the value of U.S. wheat crops. Monsanto, the contaminated GE wheat recently discovered here in Oregon, eastern Oregon, didn't get there by escaping Monsanto's open-air GMO experiments. This is what the company claims. And they say that it might have been put there by conspiracy of crop criminals. who somehow acquired GE wheat from Monsanto's field trials way back in 2005, then somehow saved it in a way that kept it genetically viable for 8 years, and then supposedly drove around Oregon for the sole purpose of releasing the GMOs in some farmers' field that they just hoped the USDA might someday be testing for GMO contamination. This is a quote from Fraley. It seems likely to be a random isolated occurrence, more consistent with the accidental or purposeful mixing of a small amount of seed during the planting, harvesting, or during the fallow cycle in an individual field. There is only one problem with this bizarre conspiracy theory. No one knew in advance that the USDA would be testing that farmer's wheat field in Oregon, and in fact, testing fields for GMO contamination is such a rare thing that the odds of a band of conspiracy activists correctly guessing which field is going to be tested by the USDA are at least 10,000 to 1. There are, in the Monsanto story, there are other developments. A couple of farmers adjacent to, have fields adjacent to the one in question, which we still haven't, we don't know exactly where it is. I have an idea, and I'd rather like wait until I know for sure. But two other farms have launched a class action suit against Monsanto, and probably more are in the offing. We want to go right now and speak with, I would like to speak with our first guest, Heidi Bugosi, an author of Spying on Democracy, Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance. Bogosian has written extensively on the issues which are emerging right now and the concerns that Americans have of the surveillance. For many Americans, this is, comes as news from for many of us, many listeners, many in the activist community. This is not news at all. It merely confirms what we had been scolded as a conspiracy theory, actually. That people were spying on us, you know, the tin hat stuff and all that. So it turns out, well, hallelujah, it's true after all. Good morning, Heidi. Thank you for so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much. Yeah, so you, the executive director of the National Lawyers Guild, and have written about this. Is there some kind of timing involved here? What are the dynamics that cause this to come out right now? Is it simply that we have an overload of evidence or an overload of public concern? How do we explain this sudden two revelations in 1 week is a lot, right?
Right. It seems like a lot, but I think a few things have been happening. One is that the Obama administration has classified something like a million documents. So we're living really in what I would call an overclassification state, where information is carefully guarded. The government only lets out the things that it wants the public to know. And we're also seeing a record number of high-level prosecutions. And what I mean by that is serious crimes like Espionage Act, Bradley Manning, Jeffrey Sterling, whistleblowers who are acting according to their conscience in releasing information they think the public has a right to know. So I think what's happened is hopefully people are gaining courage and realizing that as the government becomes more secretive, the public's right to know is diminishing enormously. And we also have the collaboration of corporations really partnering very closely with the government against anyone who criticizes their practices. You know, you're talking about Monsanto. Well, there are obviously many other multinationals that don't want to be criticized by activists. And so we know they exchange information. Data aggregators is a big business. They turn information over to third parties as well as the government. And I think that as one whistleblower has the courage, more come forth. So I think it's a trend. It's a disturbing trend that we have to get our news that way, that it has to be leaks where individuals face charges such as life in prison or even under the Espionage, the possibility of death.
Well, then the Espionage Act is antiquated and draconian. A law that was created for to be used specifically as a blunt instrument, and I don't think lawmakers at the time ever really imagined that it would reemerge and be applied in the way that is being applied. What you said a moment ago about the complicity between corporate interests and the government, there are many out there who have observed a trend. The increasing corporatization of the U.S. government, of the public sector. This is indeed alarming. I wonder if you could speak a bit more on that, that this is perhaps a symptom, and that we ought to take a serious look at the creeping corporatization of every sector of public life.
That's exactly right. I think what a lot of people don't know, and what came out in Edward Snowden's sort of story, was that something like 1.5 million individuals now hold top secret clearance. Many of them are working for private contractors. So what we're seeing is the burgeoning business of intelligence being contracted out to corporations instead of government agencies that are supposedly accountable to the public at large. They have a lot of their business being done by independent military contractors. And I know your listeners are familiar with really the creep of the militarization, drones, other technology that it's making its way into civilian life. And we're hearing about the Army spying on individuals the way they did back in the 60s. So I think one of the concerns is that big business now includes intelligence. And so the spying apparatus seems quite well cemented in our daily life.
Heidi, hang on. Hold that thought. We'll try to get back to you in just a moment. Right now, we're out of time for this. It's been Air Cascadia for Monday, June 10th, 2013. Joe Clement engineered the show today. Thanks, Joe. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, P.C., Certified Public Accountant.